took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from
a vision to support our brother and sister Christians
and those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today,
we are two local pastors who love Jesus
and his people,
and he wants us to strengthen his disciples
to get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to the last, and I say this with a certain amount of grief, the last episode ever to be broadcast, as far as we know, of Glorious Day.
I'm
Pastor David, and my brother.
I'm Pastor Barry, and this is bittersweet, but you know, like we were talking about in previous programs, this was a season.
Yeah.
It was a fruitful season, and the Lord, I'm sure, has something else planned for us.
It is. Now, it may be, as sometimes God does, is that you get ready to say, this is it, and then he sends somebody to say, no.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. And so we're open to that, even though we both are fairly well convicted that it's time to move on. But, you know, because we don't have, we try to have the mind of God. So if anybody out there who is saying, no, don't do it, you can call. Well, you don't have to call. You can write the station. You go to WCNO.com.
And demand that we come back on the air.
Demand that we come back on the air and promise to send.
Yeah, we'll see pitchforks and torches and barking dogs out in the parking lot, right?
Yeah, right. Well, you go to WCNO.com, and then in the subject line, bring back Glorious Day would be a good thing.
Sure.
And, because this is what we believe right now, but God may have other plans, and sometimes you have to say what you're going to do, and so other people can say, nope, don't do it.
Okay.
But one of the things we will need is funding.
Sure.
We haven't asked for it. We've never in 2.5 years.
Nope.
But we've come to a point, both Pastor Barry and I have reached a stage, our lives have changed somewhat, and our finances have been impacted. And we're not, by the way, ending this just because of that.
No. It's just time to move on to whatever the Lord has for us now.
Yep. And with other things he's put in the prayer hopper. So this probably is, but... you know, we'll see what he wants. But the theme for tonight, the last thing we want to drop as far as a big thing for God is unity in the church, Christian unity.
Oh, yeah, that's a biggie. We could do 2 years of programs on just that.
We could. Well, it's been a point we've cycled through, you know, every now and then.
Sure.
But, brother, Father...
Me.
This Barry, Pastor, Father, Brother Barry is going to read from John 17, verses 1 through 11. It's part of the farewell discourse and the prayer Jesus offered for his disciples. And listen closely for his prayer for unity.
And make yourself comfortable. This is going to be a long one. Please, please don't go away. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that that Son may glorify thee, since thou hast given him power over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorify thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me in thine own presence with the glory which I had with thee before the world was made. I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that everything that thou hast given me is from thee. For I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but those whom thou hast given me, that they are thine. All thine All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. The word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Wow.
That's powerful.
It is powerful. And there's no gray area. It's black and white right there. Right there.
Yes. And you know, I've had people share that with people, and they've started to backtrack on that. Say, well, what he really means is, no. So I want to say, this is a challenge, and we've touched on this before. Jesus wants his church to be united fully with him. Now, some of that's going to be his grace, Holy Spirit power to enable that union.
Right.
But it's going to require that we be willing to receive that grace and live into it. Now, some of the implications of this,
mm-hmm.
The one big one is we're going to have to be willing to stand shoulder to shoulder with people who come out of one of the 15,000 Christian denominations on the planet without, you know, trying to avoid being with them because we've been told that they're not exactly, you know, the one true church, and that we can't associate with them because they don't believe exactly like we do. And the truth is that the essentials of what we must believe are upheld by people in all of these denominations. Some aren't doing a great job of living into it, but God, well, here's the thing. We don't have a chance to convince God otherwise.
Yeah.
Okay. He wants his church. Jesus, this is his church. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's mm-hmm. his.
Right.
He wants us. If we say we believe, he wants us to be one with him and with each other without restriction. Now, folks, I'm gonna upset some people.
I'm
going to upset some people.
Because I'm going to follow you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That means at the worst case scenario is that God is going to move Protestants and Catholics to stand together in ministry to bring the gospel to the lost and to stand together, stepping outside of the things that were different about us.
Right.
You know, that we can go back to and be blessed and all that, things that we enjoy, but that the commonalities of the gospel, we have to stand with God, okay, and shoulder to shoulder.
Right.
Now, we can't say we can do that today. I know people, and you've known them too, Barry, and I'm not going to mention denominations, but you know who you are,
mm-hmm.
that you've been taught to hate Catholics, and some Catholics have been taught to hate Protestants.
Sure.
Now you know it's true because you're hearing me talk about it, and if you don't hate one or the other, you know people that do, and maybe you're very uncomfortable.
Right.
But God does not like that. It is not who we are to be in Christ. That to hate people, or maybe, okay, I don't hate them, I just don't want to be around them.
Okay. Is that any better?
Is that any better? No, it's not. It is not. And God does not bless that. And he's saying to you and to me, you had better let me change your heart about that,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise you have no place in me.
I've been reading, this is going to sound like a boring book. It's a textbook about the councils of the church for the last 2,000 years, when the church has called together its people mm-hmm. to straighten out messes. Okay, and it started just 300 years after the ascension of Christ, where people were coming up with opinions, and their opinions became, in their mind, fact, and the fact divided church groups.
Right.
And so we had all these different places around the Mediterranean and in the Old World that thought that they were right. The Eastern Orthodox, Alexandria, Constantinople, we had all these different areas where they had their own church. And those other guys, well, they got it wrong. And, you know, this is nothing new, these divisions. If you think about Paul, he was a firefighter running around the known world putting out fires of heresy.
Yeah.
People coming up with these odd ideas about who Jesus was and was not, and they were twisting and turning all everything that the fundamental church was when it was given to us by Jesus Christ. Mankind had to put his fingerprints on it and change things. And having done that, you mentioned 15,000 different divisions. It may even be more around the world.
That's on the Protestant side.
Yeah.
On the Catholic side, there's only about 200 and some.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we're at a time now where David mentioned before that we're in the periphery or the beginnings of the return of Christ. We need to get our act together. I want you to imagine Jesus returning and looking at his bride, the body of Christ, and looking what we've done to it over the last 2,000 years. He's not going to be happy.
No.
This is not the plan. You need to open up your Bibles and read the words of Christ over and over again. He's telling us to love each other as we love ourselves. Well, you can't hate other Christians and pretend to love each other as you love yourself. Or in the Gospel of John, love each other as I have loved you. You can't be true to God in your heart if you're harboring prejudice against other Christians. You might want to minimize what they're doing. That's just those folks. We know that's wrong. I've heard that before. We need to drop our religion, folks, because guess what? Your religion, if your religion is front and center of what you believe, it's not going to get you to heaven. If your religion doesn't include Jesus Christ in your heart, you're not going to get to heaven. I hate to tell you that. You know, we have our manager of our group stood up at one of our churches and looked out and said, not all of you are going to heaven, which is kind of a public relations nightmare. But then he followed it up with this, unless you have Jesus Christ in your heart. And it just cut through all the religion in the room.
Amen. And that is the cutting edge.
That's it.
Religion by itself, we always make a distinction between religion and spirituality, because what we see in the evidenced in a lot of the church. Now, if you're part of a spirit-filled, active, Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church, and you yourself are a soul winner, then praise God. Thank you. Keep doing it. Help others to come along in that ministry. But there are a lot of people that are not really following the Lord. They have been taught a limpid Christianity, and they believe that that's going to get them to heaven. And you know, there's some things that were left out, like repenting,
like accountability,
listening to God, like having an intimate relationship
judgment,
with God. But the other thing, which is invaded through the spirit of religion into the church at large, and it's that judging of another church and saying, well, they're not, you know, they're not, God doesn't listen to them. There was one, I'll tell you. Now, I've known many pastors in my journey as a pastor who would say to you, they would look out the door of their church, and across the street in many towns, especially in small town America, you have four or five denominations on one street.
They're all on Church Street.
On Church Street. And they would say those folks across the street, God doesn't listen to their prayers. They're not, because of something they either know or think they know about what they believe. Now, here's the thing. Every denomination has something that's a little different in our doctrine, maybe.
Sure.
It's not different enough to be a game changer, really, but we think it is. And some churches, their idea, their mission strategy is out of disaffection, right? Mm-hmm,
right.
Well, we're rocking along fine, but suddenly you upset me, so I'm going to go and start another church. You know, God is not in that either. But we got to start coming to grips with this. Because God, how can anybody who would hear someone speak of the prejudice they have about the church down the street and how that sense of I'm competing with them?
Right.
That is not Jesus. He did not create a church that competed with other elements of the church. No, He, that's why I believe when that prayer from John that you read, Barry, Jesus was praying for his church throughout the ages because he knew we'd fall back in our human stuff, our sinful issues. We'd begin to, and the devil would get in and say, how can you really like those people? Because, you know, they put on their pants one leg at a time and you put them on both legs at a time. You just jump in them. You know, your doctrine is to make a rack to put your pants on. So when you leap off the bed, you will land in those pants two legs at a time. Now, I'm making a joke. But the point is, some of this stuff is as ridiculous as that.
Well, sure. And in some cases, churches get so full of their own rules and regulations that they might even create a blockade for someone to be evangelized.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a terrible loss. You know, I always go back to the great white throne judgment. How many people standing in that line perhaps were wounded by the church?
Yes, many.
And so, you know, they do shoot their wounded sometimes, and we need to fess up to these things. When I do a service for my elderly, we do a service for all Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is invited. And so we've had to... Oh, this is going to sound difficult for people to do, but we had to lose our religion and go to the Bible. And we had to go to the Word of God.
Yeah, sure.
And we had to go to the basic tenets of Christianity. Not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's refreshing. And I sit around and look at the room. Sometimes we have 15, 20, 25 people sitting in there from every stripe, every flavor of Christianity. And they love the church service because it's for all of them. That's what the body of Christ is for. It's for all of us. And, you know, if you can't give up portions or pieces of your religion, if you can't go to another church and preach the gospel uncorrupted, uncompromised, because we should all be able to go to each other's churches and preach if we're using this. I'm holding up a Bible.
Yes. Yes.
And not an opinion.
Right.
But our Bibles. They didn't have that luxury in the early church. They didn't have a written word. They just had people who've been walking with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years.
That's right.
You know, gee, that must have been very effective.
Yeah, they heard the stories firsthand.
I often thought about John, the Apostle John. He lived well into his 90s, I guess. And I guess they would drag him around the known world on a mat and drag him in with a neon light saying, a real apostle, one night only, you know.
Yeah, right.
And he would lay there in his ancient... body and look around the room and I often wondered, because I have a very active imagination, did he not recognize some of what they were talking about?
Mm.
Had they already put a little bit of religion into place that maybe he didn't even recognize?
Very likely.
You know, because it had been, 60 years or so of the church moving forward. And, you know, that's why I'm such a lover of Paul. Paul was uncompromising. And he went into every situation where there was heresy going on, and he squared things away. And I feel bad for him, because I'm sure as soon as he left that town, it started up again. It's just human nature to want to, air quotes, improve things. We can make this religion better.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we can make this much better. And we'll give people certain clothes to wear and certain things that they need to say at certain times. And let's get organized, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And although, you know, our own personal denominational experience, we have an environment in worship where there is some structure, and we do enjoy a certain amount of structure, we also are clearly inviting the Spirit to move. But people that haven't grown up in that would look at how we do it and say, well, that's just too much. How can God move in an environment like that when everybody's reading from written prayers and they've got this, they've got that, they're told to do. Well, we found that God moves very nicely when you let him to come in, and he doesn't disabuse the things he's given you that you enjoy in worship, knowing that others don't have it, and they're happy too because the Spirit of God is moving there. But I think the time is come for the people of God, and God, and by the way, I say this is not an option. God will allow you to avoid what he is doing to reset the church that he's doing in America right now and in other parts of the world too. And even as he is bringing revival about, these are hand in hand. because he's going to do it. The prayer that Jesus made has been answered throughout the ages, and it's being answered today, mm-hmm. I think, with much more emphasis, Spirit God moving to sure. make things happen much more quickly. So you can say, nah, I don't want to do that. He'll let you sit on the sidelines, but he's not going to stop. He is. He's resetting the church. And Father is answering the Son's prayer today of Christian unity. And I'll tell you what I was told when I was involved in prison ministry several decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was messing up. I was not doing what I should be doing. The executive director of the ministry had come to Christ in prison. He was a bad guy. He was a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned his life around, but he still had that demeanor of the gangster.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day he called me to lunch. We had lunch together. And this is what he said to me, and I heard the voice of Jesus in it, the same voice of Jesus I'm hearing and what I'm about to tell you. He looked at me in the face that only a former gangster could have, who was a made man. If you don't know what that means, I'm not going to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked at me, and he just, the piercing eyes and the conviction in his voice, and he said, David, he said, and he had talked just like I'm talking now. He said, this ministry is like a train. He said, either you're on the train going forward or you're standing on the tracks in front of it, and it's going to run you over. Now he said, which one do you want to be? So immediately I said, well, I apologize, I repent. I want to be on the train with you.
Mm-hmm.
That turned things around. But sure. That's exactly the sense I get from the Spirit is what God is saying to his church today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm changing things. We are moving forward in unity. You're either on the train or you're going to get run over. Which one will it be?
Well, you know, that begs the question too. Now, this is going to be kind of a challenge out there. I challenge you to, any given Sunday, go to another church.
Yeah.
Your pastor might miss you, and you'll probably be back. Go to another church and see how they do it. Just smile.
Yeah.
Be receptive. And then maybe a few months later, go to another church. And encourage them to come to your church.
Yeah.
Let's start talking to each other. Let's let our guard down. Stop the picking, the bickering, the prejudice. And it starts with you. Get in your car, go to another church. In fact, if, like David was saying, if your preacher's saying, those people down the street there, and starts picking on them, go there for yourself.
Yeah.
You might be surprised to find out they're reading the same scripture you are,
mm-hmm.
praying in the same fashion. There may be a few songs that are different. There might be an opinion that's different about things. But truly, if God's in it, you'll enjoy it. If he's not in it, turn on one heel and go away. Go back to your church. But sitting around just talking about it's not going to help. It requires action.
Yes,
let's get motivated. Let's get up. Let's get off the couch. Let's get out of the car. Let's do this.
And you'll probably find that what you've been told by other people about mm-hmm. those other churches is not true.
True. The Protestants who are so prejudiced against the Catholics might be surprised that they're going to hear scripture from several different parts of the Bible every time they walk into a Catholic church.
And
that there's Old and New Testament, Psalms, it's all the same book you got.
And sermons that are actually God-honoring.
Amen.
You know, now I can walk in any church and be disappointed. Yeah, because maybe they're not listening. I don't care what shingle, the name on your shingle.
Yeah.
But these are days we have to experience the broader body of Christ.
Amen.
And not just think that this little church or a big church, whatever that we worship in, is it. And it's got all the answers. Because what God is doing, like I say, it's bigger than us. And it's all about God. It's not about us. It's not about denominations. It's not about what we like or don't like.
I tell you what, when you stand before God for the judgment, he's not going to ask what denomination you're part of.
No.
He's not going to ask for your name tag. He doesn't care if you've been an usher in the church or doing all this other stuff in your denomination or non-denomination.
Yes.
He's going to look at you and say, he's going to look for Jesus in you.
Amen.
And if Jesus is not in you, guess what? Your name's not written in the book of life.
Yes.
This is important stuff.
That's right.
And, you know, David used the term God-honoring. And this message goes out to all the pastors out there. Are you a God-honoring pastor? Are you telling the truth?
Yes.
Or are you giving an opinion?
And are, do you think you're competing with the churches down the street or across town?
You should be supporting them.
You should be supporting them and reaching out mm-hmm. and enabling the brothers and sisters of Christ in your church to connect with them. You're not going to lose anything. We always gain. God makes sure we gain so much when we willingly become part of the body of Christ.
Amen, brother.
We got about a minute and a half before we have to go. And because this is our very last program ever in human history, I guess there isn't much time to say, but I will just say, and you may have some things, that it has been a great joy.
Oh, yes.
To work with you, brother.
And you too, David.
And to do this program. And it not we haven't heard from but maybe literally one person. Well, other people, two or three people. But I believe that God has used us to touch lives and to bring something important into the thoughts and the prayers of the people who've been listening. And that's been a blessing for me to
do. It is
that.
A blessing. And you know, we're not running into a government witness protection program. We are no. We are two guys that can be found. If you contact the station, they know how to get in touch with us.
Yep.
If you have questions, comments, or you just want to say, hey, we're still in town. We haven't sold our homes. We still live here.
That's right. And as long as we're breathing, we're going to be serving the Lord. So,
amen, brother.
And so if you do want to send a word up, you can send it to WCNO.com, or no, rather, WCNO at WCNO.com, which is the email, and put in the subject line, Glorious Day Commentary or whatever.
Sure.
And we'd love to hear from you. And or you can call the station 772-221-1100 and give your contact information, and one of us will get back with you if that's what you want.
Wonderful. And for the last time, I'm going to say, David, God bless you all, and good night, Tom.
Amen. Good night, Tom. Love you.
Love you. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and His perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Changed in your presence, I stand in awe, so amazed, totally changed by your presence forever. Every time I look into your